No good deed goes unpunished. You ever hear that? No good deed goes unpunished. That's something my mother, she said from time to time. Now, she would often say it as a joke. Usually, like, when she'd done something really nice for me and I misbehaved, like I always did. But if we're honest, doesn't life go that way sometimes? You know, have you ever done something nice for someone and their reaction is less appreciative than what you thought it would be? One good example, and if Todd was here, he'd really like this one, but well, he probably wouldn't do this, but have you ever let somebody out in front of you, like on the road, like say at Chick-fil-A down here, have you ever let somebody out in front of you at Chick-fil-A, and then they go so slow, you don't make the light, and then by the time you get home, your french fries are cold. Or at Walmart, you go outline in Walmart, and there's somebody who's struggling walking, and you say, well, you go in front of me. But then they get up there and they haggle over 2 cents on a price. And then by the time you get out of there, your ice cream's melted. But you get what I'm saying. Sometimes it seems like life isn't fair. It seems like we're living right and we're playing by the rules, but yet we still have troubles. We still suffer. And we still have pain. We do something good, and honestly, sometimes it feels like it goes and it does nothing for us. But if y'all know, the last few weeks we've been in a series based on the life of Elijah and how we can live. I'm picking up on that. And how we can live differently in a fallen world, a world that seems hostile. And we've been looking at Elijah and how he was faithful through the hardships and he persevered through God's provision. Now, today we're going to talk about a really fun topic. And that's suffering. Now, I remember the last time, one of the last times I preached on persecution. And one of the guys here, he came up and he's like, you scared my daughter to death. So I hope that today I'm not going to scare anybody. But it's something we need to talk about. Because sometimes suffering, it can bring us closer to Christ. And we can be better off for it in the end. Today we're going to look at how we aren't always treated fairly. And at times, it seems like no good deed goes unpunished. We're going to talk about suffering comes for different reasons. We're going to talk about how we don't choose to suffer, but we can choose the way we respond to that suffering. And ultimately, that suffering can produce good and bring glory to God. Let's go ahead and read our main passage for today. We're going to be, and it's going to be on the screen, but we're going to be in 1 Kings most of the day. So 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 through 24. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. And his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, Why have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son. And he said to her, give me your son. And he took him from her arms and carried him up to the upper chamber where he lodged. And he laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son? Then he stretched himself upon the child 3 times, and he cried to the Lord, O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again. And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came to him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. And the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is true. Now, in our passage, it starts out with after this. So we kind of need to know what the after this is referring to, or else we're not really going to get the passage. Now, for those of you who are here last week, you heard Todd preach on what we're going to be talking about. But those may not be familiar with the passage. We're going to just catch up just a little bit. So in our passage last week, basically, God spoke to Elijah, and he told him to go to Zarephath, and there would be a widow that would provide food for him. Now, Elijah did as the Lord commanded him, And when Elijah meets this widow, she was preparing for a meal. And in our text last week, in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 12, we read what the widow says to Elijah. She says, "Now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." So then Elijah, he informs the widow of God's plan and what she is to do. And he asks her to do something that a mother would never want to do. He asked her to give her what she thought would be her last meal to her, for her and her son, to a complete stranger. But Elijah shares God's promise of provision for her, and the son and the mother listen, and she does and as Elijah asks. And now through this obedience, not only is Elijah provided for as God had promised, but the widow and the son are also provided for as well. Now let's, for a second, put ourselves in the widow's shoes. We have just enough food for one more meal, and then the food is all gone. A complete stranger from a different country, he comes and he asks for all the food that you have. What would we do in that situation? Now, I'm not sure how you would have responded, but the widow does as Elijah asked. And as Todd shared last week, her provision came after a demonstration of faith. So the woman is obedient, and she gives all she has. Now, and it seems at first like she's rewarded here, because her and her son are also fed and provided for. But after her obedience, we now read in our passage today a very tragic turn of events. And we see that doing good doesn't always lead to good. Now we're going to get back into our passage today. I'm going to read 1 Kings 17, verse 17. And again, after this, which is again, she'd provided for Elijah the food. So after this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. And his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. He died. Now that doesn't seem fair. The widow shares her last meal for a stranger. She continues to take care of Elijah's needs. And now her son has become ill to the point of death. You know, and here, even in this text, it says even Elijah seems to question. He seems to question, does no good deed go unpunished? He wants to see, did the Lord pay evil for good? In verse 20, we read, and Elijah cries out to the Lord. He says, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourned by killing her son?" Now Elijah, he seems to be asking what we might today in a similar situation. You know, had the boy been saved from starving only later to die from disease? It just doesn't seem fair. But just look at the widow's reaction. Here's what, in verse 18, we read the words of the widow. And she said to Elijah, "Why have you sinned against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." Now, in this text, we don't know what that sin is, but it appears she knows. She says, "My sin to remembrance." And she feels that she and her son are being punished by the result of this sin. Now, and looking at this passage, another one came to mind out of the New Testament. And in John chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, we read this. It says, As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You see, the disciples, they assume that there was sin, and either the man or his parents had sinned. And that's what had caused his blindness. And in our passage, the widow immediately, she thinks that her sin may have caused her son to die. But that was common for the people of that day. They thought that suffering came from sin, and that blessing came from good. Now, if we're truthful, can't we kind of be guilty of the same today? I mean, I think if we're all honest, there's been times when we're struck with bad news, and we ask a similar question. We say, why me, God? Or we think they must have done something really bad to deserve what's happening to them now. Or we think that maybe we're being punished because of our sin. But when we look at suffering, we can see that they're different reasons that we suffer. Sometimes we do suffer because of our sin. Sometimes we say words that we can't take back that destroy relationships. Sometimes we hurt people. Sometimes we may break the law and have to pay the consequences. Sometimes we may just have to live with the regrets of things we've done. In James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, we read this. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. The desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So sometimes we do. We sin, and we suffer because of it. Sometimes we suffer because of the sin of others. Just turn on the news for 30 or 45 seconds and you'll see a school shooting. You'll see a suicide bomber. You'll see a home invasion that turned deadly. You'll see a drunk driver who crossed the lane. Sometimes our sin causes others to suffer. But ultimately, sin and suffering come as a result of a fallen world. Since the fall of man, sin has entered our world. And until Christ returns and makes things right, we have to live in that fallen world, and suffering will occur. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, Paul reminds us of our continual battle with Satan. Paul tells us, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil, and in the heavenly places." We live in a fallen world, and we're going to have to face trouble. Now, let's go back to our passage here. When Elijah hears the news of the widow's son, he doesn't really address her comment of whether it was her sin. Instead, he chooses how to respond to the suffering. Now we can do similarly, because we don't choose. Sometimes we mess up, but normally we don't choose our suffering, but we can choose how we respond to that suffering. And as we've been discussing, life, you know, it doesn't seem fair. I mean, in our passage, this widow, she stepped out and she follows the commands of the Lord. And then she lost her son. Now, Elijah, when he hears this tragic news, like I said, he reacts. He goes in, and here's what he said. In verse 19, we read what Elijah said. And he said to her, "Give me your son." Now, again, he does something. He tries to do something to help the situation. And then in verse 21, we read that Elijah was crying out to God on behalf of the widow and the son. And in verse 21, here's the words of Elijah. He says, "Oh Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." Now, I couldn't help but think of examples of suffering as I was preparing this message. To anyone in here, if you're suffering because of past sin and regret, talk to someone. Talk to God. Find somebody to work through that. If you're suffering because of current sin, stop. It's easier said than done. And often on our own, we can't stop it. But the Holy Spirit can help you. If you're in sin, stop. If others are suffering because of your sin, stop. Stop. God will help you. And if you've been hurt by other sin, find someone to talk to. Find someone to talk to. Work through that with them. Don't carry that suffering around. You don't have to. Again, we live in a sinful world. But God's power, not man's, God's power can overcome that. Now, I also, I have brothers and sisters in Christ right now who are suffering due to illness. People who love to serve the Lord, but because of physical ailments, they're prevented from doing what they love. And I speak to you now and remind you that we can't control our suffering, but we can control how we respond. And we need to hold on to those promises in Christ. One of those promises is found in John 16:33. Jesus says, this is the words, Jesus says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We have peace in that. We know that future hope. The last point I want to talk about is that suffering can be used for our good and for God's glory. Now, our passage ends in verse 24 here, in 1 Kings 17:24 again. It says, "And the woman said to Elijah," this is the woman speaking. Now, we know from last week, she was not a believer, but she says, "And now the woman said to Elijah, 'Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is truth.'" This miracle helps this woman see that Elijah represents the Lord and that he's sent by the Lord. The widow thought she had lost her son, but by God's power, her boy was raised from the dead. The healing of the widow's son, it led to belief, and it demonstrated God's glory. Not Elijah, but God's glory. And as we read in the passage, the woman believed Elijah's words that he was a man of God. Now, earlier we looked at John chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. We were talking about the blind man. Now, I'm going to read all three verses here now because this ties in with what we're talking about. In John chapter 9, again, verses 1 through 3. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, It is not that this man sinned or by his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." Now, as we've discussed, there are different reasons for our suffering. And some of these reasons are caused by our own sin. But in this passage, Jesus makes it clear that neither the boy nor his parents had sinned. But this was intended to glorify God. In this passage, the blind man is healed, and this healing demonstrates the power of God working through Jesus. In our main passage today, the widow's son is brought back to life to show that Elijah was a man of God and that his word was true. Both of these healings, they point to God, and ultimately they lead people into belief in him. These men were both healed. But there are also times when the healing doesn't come. There's time when the cancer isn't cured. There's times when the surgery doesn't go like they expected. There's sometimes the diagnosis is incurable. Now, does that mean God doesn't care? No. God loves us and he wants us all to come to him. But like I mentioned before, we live in a fallen world. Sin, suffering, death, that's all part of that sin. These are the results from the fall. Now, as we also discussed, we don't know the reasons for our suffering for those around us sometimes. But there's hope. And we know that hope. Because if you're a Christian, no matter what happens to us in this lifetime, we know that we have hope for a better future. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul gives us a very good passage here. Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present life are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us." Now, I read that scripture and the last couple days, this has been on my mind. And I was thinking back to hospital visits with Bill Combs and Bill Hughes, elders of this church who served the church so well. And towards the end of their life, they suffered. But their suffering was not in vain, because in the midst of their suffering, they ministered to those who are around them. They testified in the hospital rooms, at the cancer treatment, anywhere that would listen to them, they testified, and they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the suffering they were experiencing would only be temporary, and it did not compare to the glory that awaited them. Bill Hughes went in for cancer treatments, and Bill and they both went to the hospital, but their attitude of faith and how they handled that and approached that, that witnessed to the world. And you know, they had the peace that only Christ can give us. And you know, other people, the world, they don't understand that. When they see someone smiling as they're being treated, the world doesn't, they don't understand. But we do, because we know this is not the end. We have hope, and we have a future in Christ. Now, Todd, he shared a passage at Bill's service the night before last, and I want to end with this morning, because it's a passage. In this passage, if you're struggling now, if you're hurting now, this is what we have to look forward to. And these are the words of John, and he's speaking of Jesus. This is what Jesus is going to do for us. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. What hope? What hope? Who hurts? I hurt. I hurt some. And I know so many here, like I said, I know as I look out, I just see so many people that I know are struggling and they're hurting. It can be physical, mental, financial, but just know that it's only temporary, and we have hope to look forward to. If you need somebody to talk to, we're going to have a song of invitation here in a minute. I'm going to have elders, if they'll come up, because I'm going to play the last song. But if you need someone to talk to, someone to pray with, find one of our elders. They'll be around, and we'll do that. If you've been thinking about making a decision for Christ, and you want to be baptized in His name, like Todd always says, that we're over here, but the baptistry is over there, and we'll walk on over. We'll do it. I don't know. Just know that you're loved, and God loves you, and we're getting ready to sing. I'm gonna pray with us, and then we'll close, and then we'll get ready to eat.